He has all the wealth, power and prestige. 3 wives, 13 children, a soccer club including Mbappé and Neymar, and now also the World Cup.
The winner to organize the 2022 FIFA World Cup is Qatar.
Welcome to the world of
Your Highness Tamim bin Ahmad Al Thani.
He's the autocrat of Qatar, a tiny, tiny country, slightly smaller in area than the US state of Connecticut, with access to the largest gas fields in the world. Tamim the Majin, or Tamim the Glorious, is what his followers call him. Everywhere in Qatar, you can see his face, on car windows, houses, and shop windows. And even the most powerful people in the world court him.
And I want to pay tribute while you're here, Your Highness.
But wait, not everything that glitters is gold. He is considered a master of diplomacy. The United States is a close ally, and at the same time, the Qatar government talks to the Taliban and supports Islamists.
Give them your word that you're not supporting any Islamist groups. Are you going to meet these demands?
Our sovereignty is a red line.
How does that work? What is behind the nice smile of Al Thani? What does he want to achieve with all his billions? And why is he investing so heavily in football? Who is Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani? Look, it's Boris Becker! 1993, the Qatar Open was first held and Boris Becker was one of the superstars. He even gave private coachings to some people of the ruling family. Exactly, the 13-year-old Tamim. What we see here is called sports washing, an idea that will influence Tamim's life, basically leveraging sports and sports stars to give yourself and your country a clean image. Tamim has turned this idea into a master plan. He wants to make Qatar a strong leader in the international community, a country that is respected by all.
The winner to organize the 2022 FIFA World Cup is Qatar.
At the age of 22, Al Thani becomes a member of the International Olympic Committee. He brought the World Handball Championship, the World Athletics Championships, and Formula One to Qatar, beginning in 2023. Not even mentioning the fact that he purchased Paris Saint-Germain for his old friend Nasser Al-Khelaifi.
22 is very important for us, and we know that because of the media, everybody is coming here. We want to show the people in advance how Qatar is prepared for the 2022.
And the glory of sports superstars is supposed to shine on Qatar. This is something Al Thani understood in 1993. It is currently an essential element of his strategy. And his masterpiece is the Global World Cup 2022.
The winner is Qatar.
Actually, Tamim was only the third in line to succeed the Al Thani throne. But his two older brothers, well, this statement has been delivered to us. One played too much, the other prayed too much. On June 25th, 2013, Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani became Qatar's monarch. At 33 years old, he was the youngest ruler of the Arab world at the time. What is still remarkable is that Tamim's father was the first head of Arab countries in the Gulf region to give away his power voluntarily. He himself still had to fight against his own father. The Al Thanis have been ruling over Qatar for the last 130 years.
Now, as Emir, he inherits not just the management of a fast-growing economy, but diplomatic engagement in a range of issues in the region and beyond.
Let's turn back time for a moment. This is what Qatar looked like in the 1970s, when most residents relied on fishing. And this is the capital, Doha, today. How's that possible? Natural gas. Qatar and Iran jointly own the world's largest natural gas field. And this gave Qatar and, of course, the emir a lot of wealth. But really, a lot of wealth. Qatar has the third highest GDP per capita in the world. Germany ranks just 18th. And even more importantly, Qatar is a global player in terms of energy. Today, 20% of the world's liquefied gas comes from the Gulf state Qatar. The world needs Al Thani's gas. Gas was always a political insurance for Qatar. It made them irreplaceable. If you have a quasi-monopoly on natural gas production, then you use it strategically as a political instrument. And since Russia endangered gas delivery for Europe,
Росія не збирається відновлювати постачання газу європейським країнам, як вона зобов'язана за контракт.
Small Qatar is more important for energy policies than ever. The big question now is where to put all that money? He already owns 4,000 cars, 15 planes, and the Almir Cab, which is only the 22nd longest yacht in the world. But Tamim thinks bigger than that. With the Qatari state fund, the Qatar Investment Authority, he has been going on a shopping spree, and he has an estimated $350 to $450 billion to deploy. That's bigger than SoftBank's Masayoshi Son.
That you personally lost $70 billion of net worth. The greatest loss that any human being has ever suffered.
For example, he owns 6.1% of Deutsche Bank, 3.1% of Siemens, 17% of Volkswagen, and 9% of RWE, to name a few. In the United Kingdom, he owns this here. All in all, he owns more property than the Queen. God bless her. Tamim's goal is to create a global network of economic dependencies that makes Qatar and its people vulnerable. And one look at the map makes it clear why. Qatar is a mini country surrounded by neighbors several times larger. Some of them dislike Qatar's rise and are irritated by it, especially Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. To survive, Qatar needs allies, the most important one since decades. The US Army base at Al Adayat houses the largest contingent of troops in the Middle East. 11,000 soldiers are stationed here in Qatar, and the desert state is said to have spent $1 billion for that.
Qatar's a good friend and reliable and capable partner, and I'm notifying Congress that I will designate Qatar as a major non-NATO ally. To reflect the importance.
Wow, nicely read, Joe. At the same time, the Emir is cultivating tight ties with Turkey and Russia. He shares a gas field with Iran, and he keeps close contact with Islamic organizations. The Taliban established its sole overseas office in Doha in 2013. The following story demonstrates how much of a tightrope act Qatar's strategy is. At the end of 2010, Tamim's father openly supported the Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamist organizations during the Arab Spring. There are persistent rumors that Qatar is aiding the extremist Taliban. In 2017, Donald Trump takes this as a reason to turn the U.S. is back to Qatar.
We will work with our allies, including our friends and allies in the Muslim world, to extinguish this vile enemy from our planet.
Taking advantage of the moment, Saudi Arabia and the UAE place heavy embargoes against Qatar. There should be no more trade, no air traffic. Nothing is supposed to enter or leave Qatar. And Qatar starts a battle for survival. Over 90% of Qatar's food is imported, but Tamim does what he does best. Diplomacy. He's a master in building soft power. He builds new alliances that connect Qatar with the rest of the world. Most importantly, there have been agreements and treaties with partners like Turkey or Iran, or also international nations like Germany. Al Thani's strategy works. He brings Qatar out of isolation. And in return, Tamim allows himself to be celebrated by his people like a rock star, poster, pictures, and lots of merchandise, just in time for the 2022 World Cup. This should be the pinnacle of Qatar and Al Thani's image-building campaign.
My country, as a Qatari, I'm very proud.
I'm so excited that people are coming to Qatar to actually experience it.
Approximately 2.9 million people live in the country, but only about 300,000 of them are Qataris. The rest are migrant workers. Qatar has been built on their backs. Well, let's say it like this. The Qataris have a so-called kafala system, which dictates how they are able to employ migrant workers. The modalities are such that all of us hyper-capitalists would be proud of them. The employer makes all decisions, where the employee works, how long the employee works, how to limit the employee's mobility, and often the passport of migrant workers is kept at the employer. Even though the kafala system has been officially abolished, the principle of exploitation still exists.
Many migrants allege they are forced to work without pay, often for months.
And Al Thani is profiting from it like nobody else. He's not stupid though. He lets his people get a piece of the action. If you're a citizen of Qatar, this means doctor appointments are completely free. Electricity and water supply is completely free. You have guaranteed employment. There is a very stable 0% of unemployment. David Beckham is also a big fan. Sure, there is a bit of problems with freedom of press in Qatar. And sometimes Al Thani gets spicy questions from foreign journalists.
Want to welcome the German fans in Qatar. What about the German gays?
Listen, everybody's welcome in Doha. We do not stop anybody from coming to Doha.
But fuck it. Under his leadership, Bin Hamad Al Thani managed to build a true powerhouse. The most powerful people in the world respect him. Even more so, they are dependent on him. Under his influence, Qatar has risen to become a small but influential world power. A country that the whole world talks about and with which the whole world wants to talk.